passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times Radio. Here we challenge everyone and challenge everything. Our goal on this show is to help you work those critical thinking skills, stretch your comfort zones, maybe take you someplace you've never been before, and help you expand your reality of the world, whether that's in a very physical world way or a metaphysical way. Here at the Dr. Kevin Show, we're open to everything and everyone. We do have a call-in show now. Before, you would just come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, which you can still do. Make sure if you're there, you like the page. I'm likable. Just trust me on this one. I'm likable. So you can just like the page, and then you can leave comments there, and I'll be monitoring to the whole show. I'll also be monitoring my Twitter account, which is either at Web of Light, WebofLight, or at My Dr. Kevin. If you post on either one of those, I will immediately be notified and make sure I bring your questions to our guest or to our audience. Also, you can call in, and that number is 202-570-7057. Now, you can find that number posted on facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, but maybe you want to call in instead of just posting a comment. If you are listening to this as a replay, if this is not 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night, the last Thursday of 2016, maybe you're listening to this in 2017. You can still go to that Facebook page. You can listen to the show. You can still leave your comments. And either I, my guest, or both of us will respond, even if you couldn't participate in the live show. Now, it doesn't get any better than that, does it, boys and girls? So, as always, we start with my hot topic. And then I invite my guest in, and I will introduce her at that time. I'll invite her in and ask her her thoughts. For those of you who are new, my hot topic is something that gets me hot under the collar or makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. Well, I've got a little bit of warm and fuzzy, hot under the collar. It's a little bit of a mix this week. I've been doing replays the last couple of weeks as we've been in the height of the holiday season and everyone's been running around, yours, including yours truly. But this has been a rough month for celebrities. We've been losing them like, you know, they've been dropping like flies. It seems like in the last several days, a day doesn't go by that we haven't heard of somebody who has passed on very suddenly, very unexpectedly. None of these were dying at long, prolonged illnesses. These were not people that, you know, you were just kind of sort of waiting to die. Maybe Zsa Zsa Gabor, she was 99. And she made the most out of most of those 99 years, a woman who definitely reframed a lot of what we thought of as celebrities and what celebrityhood means. And a lot of our modern celebrity icons that sometimes really don't do anything but just be celebrities, they took their cues from Mrs. Zsa Zsa Gabor. But in more recently, you know, we have George Michael, we have Carrie Fisher, and then we have her mother, Debbie Reynolds, who I actually saw Debbie on Broadway. I saw her do the Unsinkable Molly Brown when it was a Broadway show, and she was up there and singing Belly Up to the Bar Boys. I can close my eyes, and I can still hear her belting it out as she, at that time, I believe was in her early 60s, was climbing up and dancing seven shows a week. Singing and dancing and taking Broadway by storm, you know, and obviously she was the original in the movie, which was one of those cases where a movie was turned into a Broadway show many, many, many years later. Phenomenal woman, had her own trials and tribulations in life, and had a fabulous daughter in one Carrie Fisher. Well, she had a few fabulous children, but Carrie, our Princess Leia. The woman who actually motivated and inspired lots of women out there that you didn't have to be the princess that needed to get rescued. Give her a phaser and she could rescue you, and did sometimes. She definitely was a turning point. She was not a sweet little innocent, just, oh, save me. She wasn't calling for Dudley Do-Right. She was calling for the next round of ammunition. She definitely left an imprint on more than one generation of viewers, right up to, we will actually be seeing her, because all of her films were shot, her scenes were shot in the 2017 release of the next Star Wars trilogy. And in Rogue One, she had a bit of a kind of sort of cameo. It was strange, but you have to see the movie. So why am I bringing all of this up? Well, first of all, part of it is out of respect. We've lost a lot of people this year, and I'm not going to go through the whole list. But, you know, I see very interesting things. I see a lot of people who are grieving and mourning, and asking, you know, like some of them were definitely taken too young, or how they were gone, or the story, you know, George Michael was only 53, you know, and there's been a lot of different conversations. The warm and fuzzy is obviously the outpouring, the fact that celebrities do shape and change our lives. They give us role models. And when we have role models that inspire us, George Michael inspired a generation of people to go out there, and he fought for things. He fought against things like homophobia and even racism, and, you know, fought for the right for anyone to be different, not just himself. But in this, we also have that grief part of it. And grief is really for us. Grief is for us. We grieve for our loss. For there will be no more future movies that we will see carry in. There will be no future songs, though some undiscovered song of George Michael's just was released by his significant other. But we know that it's a very short shelf life. We know that they are in history. When somebody in our life that we see on a daily, weekly, monthly basis leaves us, you know, what we're grieving is all of the never going to happen agains, all the future experiences that will not involve them. Most people will tell you they believe in a heaven. There are a few that say, hey, when you die, you just turn into dust, dust to dust, you're dust, the wind blows, the dust is gone, you're over. I do know some people that that's how they feel, but they are very much in the minority. There are some that do think that these people are going to be judged, and some better have packed, you know, lots of ice cubes and bathing suits, and others, you know, will be getting their wings blow dried. But everybody has a concept that there is something waiting for us. Not everybody, but the majority of people have a concept that something is waiting for us. And the majority of people think that something is waiting for us that is better. So we can never be sad for them. We can't be sad that they've gone on to what we say is a better place. Now, if we get so upset when somebody else dies because they're gone, but it's about them and not about us, then we have to look at that. We have to look at that because maybe we don't have the relationship with God that we think we do. Maybe we're not so sure that there is a heaven waiting for us. Maybe there's some part of us that's afraid that there's not enough ice cubes and bathing suits for us to spend eternity in. And so this is a time when people die close to you, and there have been lots of those. I've seen friends and relatives and people die this year, and that happens. The older you live, the more people you see die. But there's always that thing of, well, if you really believe they went to heaven, why are you sad for them? You're sad for yourself. And being sad for yourself is a perfectly legitimate thing to do. But if you're upset by what they're missing, but you really think that they're in a better place, then they're not missing anything. So that's my two cents. I'm going to bring in today's guest. I'm going to introduce her, and I'm going to ask for any thoughts that she has. Today we have guest Betty Friedson. Betty is a clinical social worker specializing in helping her clients access the creative and life-changing resources of their inner mind. Obviously, there's nothing more life-changing than death, just a side note. Also known as the unconscious mind or the psychic dimension of the mind. Betty refers to the information that is available in the psychic mind as soul wisdom. Betty is the author of Soul Mother's Wisdom, Seven Insights for the Single Mother. She is available for Soul Wisdom psychic readings at her office in South Berwick, Maine, and in some cases by phone or Skype. You can find out more about Betty at facebook.com/Betty, B-E-T-T-E, dot Friedson, F-R-E-E-D-S-O-N. And we have several other websites and YouTubes. I'm going to send you to facebook.com/mydrkevin because all the click links are there. Betty, hello. How are you?
Oh, Kevin, I'm great, and such a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you.
Not a problem. So, Betty, what do you think of all of this?
Oh, well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I am listening so intently to what you're saying, resonating with all of it, Kevin, and particularly want to comment on the wisdom of nothing is more life-changing than death. I mean, that is profound, even though obviously it's obvious, but it's so profound. And what you're alluding to is how do we change when death occurs around us? And I agree with you that the grieving is for us. I am thinking about something a very dear friend of mine said to me when someone close to me passed a few years ago. And this friend of mine who said this was a pastor. And she said, it is important to honor their lives in the way you live yours. So thinking about what's embodied in the lives of George Michael, so many values, so many perspectives that are important to carry on. And then I was also thinking about the idea of the celebrity who's just a celebrity, which has made me chuckle. That would be a whole interesting concept to look at. I was thinking about how do we honor the celebrity in us, you know, that choosing what's a...
And there's the sound of our first break music. We will be right back with Betty Friedman here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times Radio. Here at Om Times, we're changing the world one om at a time. And tonight, we are interviewing Betty Friedson. Betty is the author of Soul Mother's Wisdom, Seven Insights for the Single Mother. She has a practice in South Berwick, Maine, and she does offer soul wisdom readings. She is also a clinical social worker. You can find out more about her at bettyfriedson.com, and that is BettyFriedson.com. So, Betty, welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Are you still there?
I am here. Thank you.
You are welcome. So I want to finish up the any thoughts that you had before we move into the, you know, because I always have a question for this segment for you. But was there anything else that you wanted to express about the current condition of the grieving and the loss of the celebrities?
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to offer the listeners and you and me, of course, too, the idea of celebrating our own worth, our own talents, our own celebrity inside, that we each have that unique spark, that unique something that will make us more of fully who we are. And so that was mostly what I wanted to affirm. And I think that you were alluding to that in terms of seeing some of these people who have been cycling off as role models. How can we use their lives to help us shape what's most important in our own?
Yeah, and you know, and when we do lose somebody, and I've been taking, because you know, I've been in practice. Well, it'll be 27 years in January, and you know, and I've dealt with this as a spiritual coach and counselor and catalyst. And you know, one of the things I want to remind people, I want to remind all of our listeners right now. Because a lot of people saying, oh, I can't wait for 2016 to be over. 2016 was a horrible year. Well, it wasn't a horrible year for me. I mean, but it was, you know, but a lot of people are saying that. But remember that you get to choose which part of you, which part of you got shifted and changed and grew because of this person that just passed. How you became a better person because they were in your life. And you can decide the ways in which you want to honor them and keep them alive as long as you are alive. I still tell Papa stories that, you know, when Papa and I did this or Papa did that, and I've written poetry about him. And I still tell my grandmother stories. And, you know, my grandmothers, both my grandmothers, I mean, one died in the 60s and one died in the 80s. But they're alive and well. And, you know, I know that there are hundreds of people out there, minimum hundreds of people, that know at least one of my grandmother's stories. And so she lives, she's alive and well and toddling across this country, still spreading her wisdom 50 years after her death.
Kevin, you're touching on something very important, which is the whole concept of stories and how we pass along our histories. And there was a time when the only way was oral histories and stories. And there's the idea in philosophy and clinical, in our spiritual work that you and I do, the idea that it is important to find meaning in life, and that meaning isn't necessarily the same as happiness. That's a whole other concept to explore. But one of the ways we find meaning is through the stories of your grandmother or my grandmother. I resonate with you with that, the stories of our grandparents, our great-grandparents, if we knew them, or other relatives who have gone before us. There are themes that inform our own lives of how we want to live. And it isn't necessarily about these people had to be perfect, because who is? But the idea of perfection in our imperfection, in our spiritual lives, is there, that we are all perfect in our soul way, and through the stories that we discover that. So I'm really happy to hear you talking about the stories, and I hope to hear more about your grandmothers.
Well, now you have a book out, and you know, the first in what I call the first client segment, which is what we're in now, and we have about 8 minutes before that music will come in. I have no control over it. I always ask my guest where they'd like to take my listeners outside the box. Where would they like to stretch their comfort zones, expand them? And you've written a book called Soul Mother's Wisdom, Seven Insights for the Single Mother, which obviously we have almost as many, if at any given moment, more single mothers than mothers that are co-parenting in a same house relationship.
Indeed.
So where would you like to take my listeners outside the box? Where would you like to stretch their comfort zones?
Well, I'll say a couple of things, Kevin. First of all, for single mothers, I would say that you are a whole person. I'm speaking directly to single mothers, but also to single dads, because it applies to anyone who's parenting in some way without the full partnership of the biological partner, and that there are many variations on that. You are a whole person. You are not broken. Your family is not broken. Your life is not broken. You are intact and whole. That's a little bit outside of the box, because unfortunately the sociocultural image is of the broken family, and that there's been kind of a theme in the socio-political cultural world that there's only one model of a real family, which is one man, one woman, and their 2 point or 3 point, you know, whatever math children. There are many modern family configurations, and one of them is a single family configuration. So that's one out of the box. The other out of the box idea, which I want to say to everyone, is that maybe it isn't even that far out, but I think sometimes it is, that there we all have that inner wisdom. We all have psychic ability, and I know, you know, how much you value, Kevin, the psychic dimension of mind, and I do as well, that we all have it, that you and I have developed ours in a certain way with our journeys, but we can all use that to inform our lives. So in a way, it's connected to our topic about the people who have cycled off and other people in our lives whom we respect and want to model ourselves after. We all have the ability to tap into the intuitive dimension. Now, if we want to go really outside the box, I would say to the listeners, imagine tapping into your intuitive ability by looking at a bird or looking at a leaf or watching the snow and paying attention to what intuitively comes into your mind can lead to some very interesting thoughts and ideas. That's a whole other topic to explore. There are many pieces here, but really way outside what is often considered the box is the idea that we can draw wisdom from so many different places through our own awareness and our own minds. And for me, this is, I find my meaning, one of the most meaningful parts of my life is helping people learn how to do that. And I suspect you and I share that a little bit, because I think you're also a teacher. So I think that goes somewhat out of the box. If you want to go further out, let me know where you want to travel.
Well, part of it is, you know, my job is always to be my listener's, you know, to be my listener's voice, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the first thing is that as we step into psychic awareness and we go into that place where most of us really don't know how to be. I mean, we're not taught how to be fully present.
Correct.
We're not taught how to be in that moment. And so, you know, for all of that and for all of those reasons, you know, it really is that when we step into that moment of presence, we start to divide, we start to understand connectedness.
Yes.
And
yes.
Divine perfection.
Yes. Yes. And in a funny way, Kevin, it takes practice to recognize those moments. And, you know, people can have guides like I had in Ramona Garcia, a friend whom we share, that she really taught me how to recognize those moments when I was in presence with myself and therefore connected with the divine. And that has been really powerful for me. But I think that people experience that similarly and differently, and I don't know if that makes sense, but it's a very personal experience, and at the same time, I think there's a common denominator that we share that I've realized by talking to other people like yourself and other people who are working towards more fully developing and experience their own psychic awareness. My friend Stacy, whom I think you also know, talks about connecting with the source. You know, we all have a different way of labeling, whether it's God or God consciousness or the source or higher power, but that sense, that what we call clinically a felt sense, a deep experience of feeling that connectedness. That can happen in a number of ways, but it does take some practice to recognize it. I don't know.
Well, you know, it. The first thing that it takes, and I've been teaching psychic development courses. I think I taught my first one in 91. Mm. And so I've literally around the world taught thousands of people to open up their psychic. And because it's there, it's never not there. And that's the sound of the incoming. And we will be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show with Betty Friedson. Betty, can you hear me?
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
2016, and I hear the roar of the crowd. I've been hearing it for days now. Okay, I can't wait for 2016 to end. I can't wait for it to end. 2016's got to go away. There are many people who feel like the year 2016 has been a tragedy, that it's been a tragedy on a national scale, though we're not going to go into politics on this show. Though I do invite you, if you do come to the Web of Light channel that I do have that has my TV show on it, that I do on a weekly basis, I have put a special out that will be appearing next week called Surviving a Trump Presidency. Yes, Matt Connerton of Matt Connerton Unleashed and I spend an hour talking somewhat about what Trump has promised, what he said, and what we can do depending on how we feel about it. So there you are, Surviving a Trump Presidency, and you can find that if you come and join my YouTube. My YouTube is My Dr. Kevin. If you come and join my YouTube, you join the Web of Light show, the Web of Light channel. You can get access to all the shows that we do, all the TV shows. So I want to welcome back our guest. Our guest today is Betty Friedson. Betty is a clinical social worker specializing in helping clients access their creative and life-changing resources of the inner mind, also known as the unconscious mind or the psychic dimension of the mind. She is the author of a new book called Soul Wisdom, Soul Mother's Wisdom, Seven Insights for the Single Mother. She's available for Soul Wisdom psychic readings at her office in South Berwick, Maine. And in some cases by phone or Skype. You can find out more about her, first of all, by coming to facebook.com/mydrkevin, where we have all of the links, the lovely picture of Ms. Friedson, and all the links to where you can find her. But you can also find her at bettfriedson.com, B-E-T-T-E, Betty Friedson, F-R-E-E-D-S-O-N. So she pronounces it Betty, but as many people do, they spell it B-E-T-T-E, but many of you out there would want to put a Y in it. I don't know why you'd want to put a Y, but you want to put a Y, so we don't want you to do a Y. Do you understand why we don't want you to put a Y? Because it's not a Y. It's an E. B-E-T-T-E-F-R-E-E-D-S-O-N.com. Betty, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
Hey. Did you like how I got into their head not to spell your name wrong?
I was chuckling. Yeah, it was great. It was musical. It was great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm sure it happens. When you say Betty, people just want to spell it like, Betty and Veronica.
And one of
my heroes out of the 40s and 50s was none other than Betty Davis. And, of course, she spelled it like you do.
Yes.
So, yes. In this segment.
Yes.
You have to start the segment by taking the pop quiz. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
What movie did this come from? Ignore the Man Behind the Curtain.
Oh God. I want to say The Wizard of Oz, but I'm sure it's not.
It's The Wizard of Oz. Congratulations.
I got it. I got it. What did I win?
What did you win? You won the ability to continue the interview.
I can think of nothing better. It's good.
The whole thing is the reason that the segment is called Behind the Curtain is because, at that moment in the movie was when, of course, Leave It to a Dog, to expose the fact that the great and powerful Oz was nothing more than somebody than an old windbag from Kansas who had lost his direction.
Why does that sound familiar?
Oh, I don't think he was from Kansas. I think he's from somewhere else. But we're not going to say where right now. But in this segment, a lot of times we get misdirection. A lot of times people are trying to busily consider us, to convince us that something is the great and powerful something, solution to all of our problems, answer to all of our prayers, whatever it is. So in this segment, I ask you, where would you like to expose my listeners to a truth? Something that you think's gotten twisted in today's mind that people don't understand the truth of.
Oh, boy. Well, and this is not your Web of Light show, so I'm going to not go political. I would like to...
You can go political if you want. That's your... You know, okay. I try to not make it political, but my guest can, and I will follow right along, so don't hesitate.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to try to be direct without being too direct. There are many windbags today, and I'm going to encourage people to be exposed to the real truth as opposed to what is fake news out there, made up news, which is, as you might call it, the load of crap that's out there today. There's a lot of it. And that the truth is about the soul inside. And that sadly and unfortunately, there is a lot of crap being made up about people. I have a very dear friend. I'm going to go a little bit clinical now. My very, very dear... May I do that?
Go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. So my dear friend Rick Miller, who is really considered in the past couple of years the expert on doing therapy with gay men, who's had a couple books published, in his program that he just presented at the Brief Therapy Conference in San Diego 3 weeks ago, exposed some of the worst ugliness I have ever seen in my life. It practically brought me to tears, even though it was no surprise. That is among other horrible things being said about groups of people, and we could go gender specific, we could go lifestyle specific. Now, I'm a social worker, Kevin, so obviously my values are a set of values that I hold dear, which is that every person is important regardless of who they love, what they believe, and this is such a huge, huge fallacy behind the curtain. And we need to get in front of the curtain. What matters is the soul of the person. And I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to say this, that I just encourage listeners, myself, all of us, to really pay attention to what's factual, what's real. I don't know that I can say it any more strongly than that. The other piece of truth, which I'll say again, is that we all have that spark. It doesn't matter what the outsides look like. We all have that inner wisdom, that inner soul. And that's, for me, a basic truth. And I could go on if you want me to, or you could give me another pop quiz. Another question.
Well, you know, one of the things is, I may hit you up for a connection with Rick. Because I'd love to have Rick on the show, actually.
Yes, he would. I'm sure he'd be happy to come on. Well, I don't know. I can't speak for him, but he's a wonderful person, and he's doing a lot of speaking and presenting. So we can talk about that. I'll connect you.
But you know, I think that there is. I think that there's a lot to be said about the fact that with the absence of a curriculum in public education, mm-hmm. a requirement that mm-hmm. children be taught how to think, with the lack of critical thinking skills that are inherent in a public education curriculum, you're taught to learn, obey, you're taught to have it shoved down your throat, and if you vomit it up in the right order, you get patted on the head, kicked in the backsides, and move forward. Mm-hmm. You are not encouraged. Yeah, you are not encouraged to question. And so many people out there have either lazy minds or minds that are just apathetic. They're asleep. Their ability to do, and we all have the ability to have some level of critical thinking skills. Just like anything else, some people were born with more naturally occurring critical thinking skills and more curiosity and questioned more things. And oftentimes they were the ones that got in trouble at school. You know,
Kevin,
they were the ones. Go ahead.
No, I'm with you. I couldn't say it better. I'm so with you. It gets me very, you know, you talk about getting hot under the collar. I'm hot under the turtleneck. I mean, it does not produce warm and fuzzies for me when I know that not only, and I worked in school systems, taught school, social worker in school systems, so I've seen what you're talking about. That gets me hot under the turtleneck. And then the other piece is while the critical skills are not necessarily getting taught, what's getting modeled in too many places is something counter to love. And I'm refraining from calling it the H word. You know, I don't want to actually say that because it may be other things, but it's counter to love. It's counter to compassion. It's counter to acceptance. So, you know, it really breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. And I, just in my own small world, in my own small way, really try to promote the message, not just to single parents, but to all people, to be whole. You know, I have done a program in a couple of places called the Development of Self-Wholeness. We need, as people, that sense that we are intact. You know, that's a whole, there's so many different, you know, journeys we could take with these topics, but I'm with you. I'm with you on that. It's heartbreaking that children are not taught how to filter out what's correct, what's loving, what's accepting. You know, we can only do our best in our world.
Well, and, you know, I know that when we met, I don't remember if I mentioned this when we met over lunch or not, because there's a lot of, oh, and we'll be right back with Betty Friedman here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here on Om Times Radio, where we're changing the world one om at a time. We're here for our last segment on the last Thursday of December of 2016. It has been quite a year. We have seen huge political upsets. We have seen huge relationship upsets. And we've seen the passing of many people who have touched us. Many people have moved out the door and decided to go on to a new and a different direction. There is a big hullabub going on out there, and it has come across my sphere as we were on the show and on breaks and stuff like this. And I want to, I'm going to mention it. and I'm going to see if Betty has heard about it. And this is our load of crap segment. And I am going to see what she thinks about this. And this is the whole happened in the Twitter world. And it happened with Charlie Sheen. Betty, do you know what I'm talking about?
You know what? I don't. So please okay. Tell me. Maybe some of the listeners don't.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to ask. I was just curious to see if you... Charlie Sheen put a tweet out after the death of Carrie Fisher in response to Carrie Fisher's death. Now, there is a... There has been this thing, which I am going to weigh in on and then see what you think, which is completely ridiculous, which a couple of people like Steve Martin referred to Carrie Fisher about, you know, that she was a beautiful role model or said something. And he had to delete the tweet because they said that the word is slipping my mind, but you know, he was basically objectifying her or whatever. And yet I read the tweet and it was very sweet. You know, some people really do need to get a life. But his tweet, which seemingly in response to the recent deaths of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, he said, "Dear God, Trump next, please."
Oh. I didn't hear that. Yep.
The Twitterverse immediately slammed Sheen for his tweet, calling the actor a scumbag and a useless cockroach. Sheen has yet to respond to the backlash. His tweet is pinned to the top of his Twitter profile.
Wow. Oh, boy.
What are your thoughts?
Before I tell you my thoughts, I'll tell you my gut reaction is, unfortunately, this is more pervasive than just the tweets, that people can, regardless of what people think about person X, Y, or Z, that there's a permission out there to say outrageous things that are hurtful, regardless of what what someone's particular political belief system is, regardless of how entrenched it is, there seems to be a permissiveness to just be nasty. And it's sad because, as I had said in our previous segment, all of that is counter to love. And love, you know, I love your motto of changing the world one ohm at a time. That if we believe in the energy of the soul and the spirit, that the thoughts we put out really do affect the world. Now, I don't know if all of your listeners will believe that, or some of them may think that that's a load, but metaphysics and great experts and various researchers on who have discovered the quote God particle really understand that thoughts have energy. So tweets, you know, comments out on cyberspace that are nasty and mean, they have an energy to them. And what I do with that, Kevin, is I put white light around myself. I do not choose to absorb that negativity. I do not want the physiological, emotional, or spiritual negativity to infect me. And that's regardless of what my politically I might believe. I don't want that to come into me. Those are my thoughts and my reactions. And I'm sad that this is the way the world is today, that somebody can just put that out there. So I'm curious about what your thoughts are, or even the listeners, if they're tweeting or commenting on that.
Well, on one hand, there is always that question that goes in my head. Was this just a publicity stunt? Did he just do this because it was going to stir up a lot of energy and it was going to get his name in a lot of news and suddenly people would be talking about him because he hasn't been being talked about a lot lately?
Ah, well, you know what? That certainly is a reasonable thought. Mm-hmm.
So that's my first. So that's my first thing. My second thing is that not a single person involved with the Trump campaign, election, or even in the incoming administration can expect anything less than hateful comments because his whole campaign was centered around hateful comments.
Right. That's kind of what I was alluding to when I said the permissiveness. Yep, I'm with you.
So, you know, it's a very interesting thing because some people have said, you know, be careful what you say and words come back with you and stuff like this. And I have often said to people, that sometimes what we are drawn to do, and sometimes we are really drawn to do something which the whole world may look absurd or wrong or they may judge us for, and that's their judgment, doesn't have anything to do with me, is me playing the comeback of energy that somebody else was putting out. And so it's a very interesting thing. If Trump's election and words and encouraging violence and all of the things that he said and done, if he had not done that, if he had not dug into the deepest fears and rage of disempowered people and stirred up things, which did lead to violence. There was violence that occurred because of his speeches and the things he said. Would he have people wishing him death on Twitter? Now, I'm not saying I approve of it, but you have to look at it at the larger picture. Is this just Trump's energy coming back? Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
And I agree with you. And you're saying it more directly, and I'm glad you're saying it the way you're saying it, because it really saddens me on such a deep level that he set that precedent, and that these things, it's not just the Sheehan tweet. There's so much horrible stuff going on. There's, you know, swastikas being put in places, there's hate stuff going out towards Muslims, towards gays. It's that tweet is symptomatic of what's going on, and scary to me of what would continue to go on because of the tone that Trump set. Just what you're saying. And yes, that energy creates that energy. And it is no surprise that could come back at him. And that's coming back at people who are already disenfranchised, disempowered, and hurting. So it's heartbreaking to me. And I don't know if that's too strong for some people to hear, but it really is for me very, very devastating. It's not the kind of energy that I want to be in. And I'm really appreciative of the kind of show you're doing, because that's the kind of energy I want to be around. So I just want to say that I'm appreciating being with you in this space to talk about these things. So
I have been called the psychic sledgehammer. I believe in spiritual activism, and I believe in calling a spade, because sometimes people don't get it. And you know what?
Right.
There are people who will never get it because they don't want to give it, because they choose not to give it. They are not going to get it. They're not going to get it. They don't want to get it. However, there are those people who could, if it was put out in plain black and white, it would make them at least hesitate or think or question a little bit.
And I think, you know, that really, in a way, sums up for me what I do probably in a lot of ways for you, what you do, was like, I would have to understand more about the sledgehammer thing. I don't, from what I know of you, I don't think of you that way. I think of you as really a truthful person who tells it like it is, and I respect that. I hope that the people that come to me clinically or come for psychic healing work or whatever they come for, that they are affected in some way by something positive that helps them to see the world in some more positive way for themselves or others. That's really what I hope to achieve. And, you know, for me, that might include a difficult truth. It might include finding a way to tell somebody something that may not be so easy to tell. But telling the truth is what I'm about, and I think that's what you're about. So I think maybe some people say that's sledgehammery, but that's their perspective.
I'm gonna do a quick rundown. Oh, and the music came. It beat me to it. Ugh. Betty Friedson, Betty, B-E-T-E, friedson.com. Betty, thank you for coming on.
A pleasure. Thank you.